We're going to wrap up this series that we've been in over the last, can you believe it? Today is week 6 of our Armor of God series. And we've been talking about all of the various elements of the armor of God, the fact that we are in a spiritual warfare. And so we're in Ephesians chapter 6, and we encourage you to just turn with me there. And as soon as they can get that iPad strapped down, we're going to read that scripture together. And look at the final article of our warfare this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. We're going to just kind of, sometimes I shorten the scripture, but in this final week, I want to just go ahead and let's just read this whole scripture together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Somebody just look at your neighbor and say, you're not my enemy. Yeah, we're not fighting against flesh and blood today, but there is a warfare that's going on. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let's do a quick review here. We started out week number 1 talking about the belt of truth, because Satan is a liar. And so we need to know what the truth is so that we can defend against his lies. Then we talked about the breastplate of righteousness and how that we're supposed to guard your heart, the scripture says, for out of it flow all of the wonderful things of life. And so we need to guard our heart. The breastplate of righteousness. We talk about the boots of the gospel, as it were, that we're to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we're always to be prepared, we're to be ready at any moment to talk to anybody about the hope that we have. And somebody say with me that the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news. And so, you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, right? But I love to share good news. The gospel is good news. Then we talked about the shield of faith that we can use to ward off the darts that the enemy throws our direction. Then the helmet of salvation, because the battlefield is in the mind. The battlefield is in our mind. And so we need to have that helmet of salvation, protecting our thought life. And then last week we talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we saw that there are various interpretations of the word word. The Greek word used here is the word rhema. It's not just ink on a page, but it's something that's come alive in our hearts. It's a faith-filled word that we understand, we believe, we can walk in it, and we can apply it. And so there's that sword of the Spirit that we yield against the attacks of the enemy when he comes against us with temptation, and we fight off those temptations by giving the Word of God. Also, there's this offensive manner in which we use the Word of God to begin to declare things and decree things in spiritual warfare. And that brings us to our final piece of spiritual armor, which is prayer. Look again at verse 18. And pray in the Spirit. How are we supposed to pray? In the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. So we're to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Now, there are those who would suggest that prayer is not really a part of the armor of God. that somehow the Apostle Paul, when he gets down to prayer, he's actually changed gears, turned the page, new subject. I'm finished with the armor of God. Let's talk about this. And you're like, well, why would they even think that? And it's because he doesn't say like the gun of prayer or the spear of prayer. He just says, pray. You know, the other ones, he's like the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith. So he's you know, these pieces of armor or what have you that you can literally see. He doesn't equate prayer with any of those things. And so there was somebody saying, well, so he's just moved on. But I see it differently. I see that prayer is the final piece of armor that after we've done all the other things, put all those other things in place, that we need to be prayer. And prayer is really our communication weapon, if you will. It's our communication device. If you're in battle in the old days, back in, you know, early wars, you might have had a walkie-talkie. We talked about a walkie-talkie, you know, Roger 10-4. And you're talking to central command. You're talking to whoever your commanding officer is. You're getting your directions. You know, we're going to march so far today. We're going to, you know, camp out right here. You know, we're going to fight this way or whatever. And so you're getting these directions. And so you had your walkie-talkie, as it were. Now today, I mean, we're a lot fancier than that. Now it's SATCOM, satellite communication. But the principle is the same. In warfare, the people who are making the decisions need to be in contact with the people who are carrying those decisions out. And the people who are carrying those things out, when they see things going wrong, they need to be able to relate it back up to central command so that they can adjust, so that they can fight. I mean, sometimes, you know, they're like, hey, you know, we get a lot of firefight from that hill over here. And you're calling in, I need an airstrike. Take out that hill. That's where the enemy is hitting us from. And so there's this communication that's helping us in battle. And that's what prayer is for us. It is our immediate, constant, ongoing line of communication that we have with God, to where we can hear from him, he can hear from us, he can give us directions, we can share, hey, here's what we're encountering, this is what I need. And so with prayer is this vital part of our spiritual warfare. There are a lot of Christians today. They're struggling in their walk. They're struggling in their peace with God. They're anxious. They're fearful. They're worried. They're being defeated by temptation. And oftentimes the reason, if you'll look into it, it's like, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? How much time are you spending talking with God about these things that you're fearful over, that you're worried over? Have you, and listen, can I just tell you that prayer is not one-way communication? Prayer is not us just reading our prayer list. God, I need this, 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 and this. Thank you very much. And we hang up the phone. No, it's like, God, this is what's going on in my life. But then God says, okay, let me talk back to you. Let me share with you. And so we can't get in such a big hurry that we're not listening to what God is wanting to say to us. So prayer is vital. The scriptures are continually telling us the importance of prayer. The disciples, it's kind of interesting. They watched Jesus do all kinds of things. They watched him heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. But we never find a scripture where the disciples come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you teach us to cast out demons? No scripture like that. There's no scripture that says, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray for the sick so that they'll be healed? No scripture where they ever come to the disciples, the disciples ever come to Jesus asking for that kind of instruction. They never say, Jesus, would you teach us how to raise the dead? We don't have those scriptures. But there is a scripture where they said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Would you teach us to pray? They watched the prayer life of Jesus. And they saw the power that flowed out of the intimacy that he had with the Father. They realized that that was the secret sauce, if you will. That was where the power came from. And they're like, if we can get that, then we can get all of the other things we need. If we ever really learn to pray like Jesus prayed, then we'll be able to do all of the things that Jesus was doing. We'll be able to teach like Jesus taught. We'll have an anointing like Jesus had. We'll be able to cast out demons, whatever arises. If we've learned how to pray like Jesus prays, we're going to be set. We're going to be able to take care of everything that we need in life. And so the scriptures are constantly telling us the importance of prayer. Jesus in Luke chapter 18 tells us always to pray. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says pray always. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. Romans 12 says that we're to be devoted to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're to pray without ceasing. And then we come here to this spiritual armor that we've been given. And Paul lists all this stuff. And then he says, and praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. I'm just going to break that down for us a little bit. And really where I want to go is this all kinds of prayer. Did you realize that there are all kinds of prayer? I don't know if you've ever really thought about that. It's just like, well, I just knew that there was prayer. You know, prayer. We just talk to God. That's prayer. You know, what do you mean there's all kinds of prayer? There's just prayer. Well, you know, there's all kinds of cars, you know. There's not just cars. There's all kinds of cars. There's Fords and Chevrolets and Hondas and whatever else. There's all kinds. There's all kinds of prayer as well. It's not just one kind of prayer. And so I'm like, okay, well, what are all the different kinds of prayer? Because he doesn't enumerate them here. So what are all the different kinds of prayer? And I found where one writer said, well, there's three different kinds of prayer. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I read somebody else that said, there's four kinds of prayer. Oh, wow, okay. And then somebody else, five kinds of prayer. And then I found this guy that said, there's seven kinds of prayer. I'm like, well, I want all kinds of prayer, so I don't want to just have the three or the four or the five. So guess which one Pastor Tommy shows? We're going to do the seven kinds of prayer. You know, you're probably thinking, man, can we just done three and have been done with the sermon and be out of here? No, I'll be quick, though, today. Seven different types or kinds of prayer that I think are important for us. First of all is a prayer of worship and praise. The prayer of worship and praise. There's something powerful that happens when we begin to just declare the praises of the Lord in our prayer time. You know, when the disciples said, teach us to pray, Jesus gives them the, well, we call it the Lord's Prayer. Others would say it was really the disciples' prayer. John's Lord's Prayer is later on in the book of John. But that's another sermon. But in the midst of that, or the beginning of that prayer, his prayer starts like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is that? That's a prayer of praise and worship right there. He's beginning to exalt the name of the Lord. He comes to the close of his prayer and says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What is he doing? He's exalting God. He's lifting him up. He's declaring the praises of the Lord. There is something powerful that happens when you begin to praise the Lord. I want to tell you, when the devil's got you backed in a corner, when you're feeling down, depressed, angry, frustrated, fearful, whatever it might be, when everything in your life feels like it's falling apart, and the last thing that's on most of our minds is, well, this looks like a good time to praise the Lord. But actually, that's a good time to praise the Lord. Because when you start praising the Lord, how many of you realize the devil can't stand it? I mean, you start praising the Lord and the devil's like his fingers in his ears going, no, I can't hear you. Well, what's going on? Hey, the praise of the Lord, the Satan can't stand it. When we begin to praise the Lord, he's out of there. He's like, I can't stand, I'm gone. There's something that happens when you begin to praise the Lord. There's an Old Testament story where the nation of Israel is going to go out into battle, and the Lord tells them something that's really important. And if you're not really picking up on it, you might miss it. He says, here's how you're going to set your battle array. Take the tribe of Judah, and they're going to go out into the front. Now, see, the name Judah means praise. And the scripture simply said, send Judah first. In other words, send the praise first. There was another occasion where they were in battle and God's instruction was, you just begin to praise the Lord. And the next thing you know, the enemy's routed. When they were walking around the walls of Jericho, and on the last time around, they were told to shout. And that word shout is to shabak. That means to declare in a loud voice. I mean, get loud with it. And I don't know exactly what they were saying, but I can only imagine that some of what they were saying is God is great and God is powerful and bless the name of the Lord. Maybe a hallelujah or two thrown in there. And when that happened, the walls came a-tumbling down. Came a-tumbling down. I'm telling you, there's power when we praise the Lord. So one of the weapons, again, we're in warfare against the enemy. How are we going to defeat him? With the prayer of worship and praise. As the second prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving, very closely related to worship and prayer. Worship and praise. One author put it this way. He says, the difference is that the prayer of praise and worship is recognizing God for who he is. The prayer of thanksgiving is recognizing God for what he has done. I'm thankful for who God is. Anybody here thankful for what God has done? Has God done anything for you? Anybody here, God saved you? Has anybody, come on now, it's a good time to just go ahead and just declare that. Anybody here, God has healed you? Anybody been healed by the Lord? How about anybody been delivered or set free from some stuff in your life? Yeah, I'm telling you, there's reason that we have to give thanks unto the Lord. In Psalm 100, verse 4, we turn it into a song. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. There's something that ties this prayer of praise and thanksgiving and worship all together. Then thirdly, there's a prayer of faith. Now, we've already talked about faith a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the shield of faith. But there is the prayer of faith. Have you ever prayed a faithless prayer? I have. I'm like, words coming out of my mouth, but I didn't really believe it. I wasn't really expecting anything to happen. Come on. Anybody else? Yeah, I'm seeing some nodded heads. Yeah. I've been there. But then there's those times in your life where it's like everything is in chaos and it looks hopeless. And everybody around you is going, man, this is a sinking ship. Let's get out of here. No, nobody believes anything. But somehow the Lord has deposited a gift of faith inside of you. And you're able to pray a prayer of faith in that situation. Maybe somebody's in a terminal sickness. And the Lord gives you a prayer of faith to pray for them. Well, whatever the situation is, you're able to pray this prayer of faith. It's like this extra level of faith. The Bible talks about a gift of faith. We find the shield of faith. But then there's this prayer of faith. In James chapter 5, it says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray for them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. This prayer of faith. God give us faith in the midst of our warfare. And then there is prayer of intercession. Intercession. Basically, intercession is when we're not praying for ourselves, but we're praying on behalf of others. Now, honestly, most folks who are, kind of new at this prayer thing, we only take enough time to just pray for ourselves. It's like, God help me today. Lord bless me today. God answer this need in my life today. But there's another level of prayer that we need to move to. And that's that prayer where we're not just thinking about ourselves. But God, I'm in this with my brother. I'm in this with my sister. And they're in trouble today. And they need your help today. And so, Lord, I'm not just going to spend my time just talking about me and what I want. But, Lord, I'm praying for somebody else today. I'm praying for my brother, for my sister. Lord, their marriage is in trouble. Their kid's in trouble. Their business is in trouble. Their finances are in trouble. Their health's in trouble, whatever it might be. God, I'm standing in that place of intercession. I'm stepping up going, God, right now they may not even be able to pray very good for themselves. And so has anybody ever been there where you didn't hardly know how to pray for your own self? I mean, I've been, the overwhelming weight of everything on you. Anybody use the phrase, it just felt like my prayers were bouncing off the ceiling, like they just weren't getting anywhere. And in those moments, what do? We reach out to somebody else and say, would you pray for me? Would you intercede for me? Would you stand in that place and pray for me as though it was you, but you're in a different place spiritually than I am right now. And so would you pray with some faith and on my behalf? And we begin to intercede on behalf of the others. The Bible's filled with stories of people who prayed intercessory prayers. There was a time where Moses is leading the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, and they're all frustrating God because of their disobedience and their bad attitude and the grumbling and the complaining. And God's like, man, I am done with you guys. I'm just wiping you off the face of the earth. And Moses is like, no, God, you can't do that. We've come too far for you to kill us all now. Lord, if you're going to kill somebody, kill me. But let them live. That was a prayer of intercession. I step into the place. I'm willing to feel the pain that somebody else is feeling and to pray on their behalf. One of the things that I love about Jesus and what he's doing right now, the Bible says that he sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. I want to tell you, you've got an intercessor in your life. You have an intercessor in your life. His name is Jesus. And he's not sitting there at the Father going, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. But he's looking out and he sees you. And he says, my brother's in trouble. My sister's in trouble. And God, I'm praying on their behalf, on behalf of the work that I already did at the cross of Calvary. Would you minister to them? So we need to be praying intercessory prayers for others. And then there is number five, what we'll call corporate prayer. Well, if there's corporate prayer, then there must be private prayer. And there is private prayer. And private prayer is important. In fact, Jesus said to us, he says, when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees who stand up in the public places and they pray these big, flowery, loud prayers so everybody will see how holy and how spiritual they are. He's like, you know, that prayer really didn't get anywhere and they've got all the reward they're going to get, the praise of men. He says, but instead, when you pray, go into your prayer closet. Go into your quiet place. Go into that place where you're alone and it's just you and God. And there in that place, God's going to meet with you and he's going to reward you for your prayer. So there's an importance of praying individually. But then there's something about corporate prayer where we need to come together corporately as the body of Christ. Why do we need to come together corporately? Because we're in a fight. If I'm fighting a battle, I don't want to do it by myself. If there's 10 big guys coming, I'm looking for, you know, at least 12 guys on my side, right? I want to be ready to fight. I want some help, some support. We're in a spiritual battle, and we need to be there for one another and pray for one another and corporately come. There's something that happens when we come together corporately. The Bible says, one shall put 1,000 to flight, two shall put how many? 10,000 to flight. See, that's not addition, that's multiplication. See, addition would be 1 puts 1,000, 2 puts 2,000, 3 puts 3,000. He's like, no, it doesn't work that way. It's 1 puts 1,000, 2 puts 10,000, I guess 3 puts 100,000. I mean, it doesn't take about 4 or 5, and I mean, we're pushing away billions, you know. We're putting billions of those demonic spirits. There's something corporate that happens when we come together corporately in prayer. The Bible says where 2 or 3 agree as touching anything, it shall be done of the Father. Yes, God answers your individual prayer. James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, one righteous man, the effectual fervent prayer of that one man avails much. But then it says a lot about what happens when we come together and we support one another in prayer corporately. I just want to encourage you. There are some opportunities for us to come together corporately as Spirit Life Church and pray. The Tulsa House of Prayer meets here Monday through Saturday. In the morning, in the evenings, there's probably more than 3 dozen hours of prayer going on in this sanctuary right here in a week. And maybe you want to just come in and be a part of that corporate prayer time and say, I just want to come together. I know I've got my quiet time, but I just want to gather together with some other believers and just pray. I invite you to do that. On Wednesday night, some people ask me, well, Pastor, what do y'all do on Wednesday nights? Well, do you have a preaching service? No. You got some kind of a worship service? No. What do you got? We got prayer. We got prayer from 5:30 to 6:30 over in the prayer room. And what do? We don't get together and preach. We don't get together and teach or sing or all. I mean, maybe there's just a tiny element of that. No, we get together and we pray. We pray for our church. We pray for our city. We pray for our community. We pray for our nation. We pray for the world. We pray for the lost. We pray for issues that are going on. We join together in corporate prayer. The Bible's filled with examples of that. In Acts chapter 2, we find the day of Pentecost fully come. But in Acts chapter 1, what had they been doing that led to the day of Pentecost coming and the Holy Spirit poured out? It says that they were in that upper room together and they were in prayer and supplication. You get over to Acts chapter 4. And Peter and John have been arrested for preaching about Jesus, and they finally released, and they go back to the upper room again where the believers are gathered, and they tell them what's going on. And it says, and then they all prayed this corporate prayer together, and the whole place is shaken, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit again. You go to Acts chapter 10, and Peter's been arrested. They're going to cut his head off. I mean, they're going to kill him and make a martyr out of him, but the church is praying. And an angel comes in the middle of the night, wakes up Peter, drops the chains off of him, opens doors. He starts walking out. Peter thinks, I'm having this wonderful dream. Man, this is a great dream. And he wakes up in the street, as it were, and he realizes, wait a minute, it wasn't a dream at all. God's come. He's delivered me, set me free. And so he goes to the place where he knows the believers are gathered in corporate prayer, knocks on the door. A lady comes to the door and he says, this is Peter. He's like, no, Peter's in jail. I don't know who you are. He just really couldn't even hardly believe that God had answered the prayer. But there was power in the corporate prayer. And so we need to come together and pray. Let me wrap this thing up. A couple more and we're done. There's a prayer of consecration. Let me just say, there are times where we just need to consecrate ourselves to God. I mean, say, God, here I am. Here's my life. Here's my family. Here's my business. Here's my money. Here's my everything. God, I just give myself totally and completely to you. And that's what the prayer is all about. It's just about our surrender and our consecration of ourselves to God. And then finally, we come to praying in the Spirit, which is exactly what Paul's talking about when he introduces prayer. And he says, and praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. I was meditating on that a little bit more even this morning. And it was like the Lord says, now here is the real secret weapon. Here is where prayer is more than just the communication, the walkie-talkie, the satcoms. Here's where prayer becomes the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb, because it becomes such a great weapon for us to use when we're in warfare. Apostle Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 12 when he says there are times in our lives where we don't know how to pray as we ought. Some of us have been there. I don't even know what the God's will about this situation is. I don't even know how to pray. I don't need to pray yes or no or in or out, or up or down. I don't know how to pray. And it says, in those moments when we don't know how to pray as we ought, what happens? The Holy Spirit begins to pray through us. And the King James language says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we interpret that to be praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, your prayer language, the Holy Spirit praying through us. And he says, because when the Holy Spirit prays, he perfectly knows the will of God. And guess what, folks? Satan hasn't learned how to interpret tongues yet. He don't know how to interpret those tongues. And so the devil's going, they're up to something. But I got no clue what it is. I don't know where to send my demons. I don't know what to set. I don't know what to plan for. I don't know because I don't know what they're doing. But God knows what he's doing on our behalf. It's a mighty weapon for us. The Apostle Paul would talk about it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when he says that there are times when I pray with my understanding. I'm praying, in other words, with words that I know. He says, but then I also pray in the Spirit. The implication is I pray in a way that I don't understand it. He says, so what shall I do? He says, well, I'm going to keep praying with my understanding at times, but I'm going to keep praying in the Spirit when I need to pray in the Spirit. I'm telling you, this is a powerful weapon that God has given. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, oh, I just want to encourage you. You need to be seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you that prayer language so that the Holy Spirit can genuinely pray through you. Praying in the Spirit, Paul says, on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this weapon of prayer that we have. Lord, you know the needs that people have in this room today. And I pray, Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, that you would move. Holy Spirit, that you would have your way in us. We just ask this morning before we have general prayer, if there might be anyone here today, or maybe there's somebody you're watching online this morning, and your need is a prayer of commitment, of consecration, a prayer of repentance, a prayer of salvation. And you need to say, Lord, I need to give you my life. My life is a wreck. It's a mess. I've ruined it. I've tried to do it my own way, and it hasn't worked out. And Lord, I'm ready to surrender to you and go your way. I'm ready for you to save me, to wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of all my sin. I want to be born again and start this life walking in the Spirit with you. If there's anybody here today that you would like to pray that prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, if you just raise your hand, I want to pray with you for that right now. I just want to know who you are, where you are. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else today? Holy Spirit's just moving on you, and you know that that's the step that you need to take right now. Lord, you see our hearts, you know each one that is here. Lord, as we want to serve you, we want to live for you, we want to commit our lives, Lord, there's some in this place that, Lord, their desire is to recommit today. Recommit, reconsecrate themselves to you. Or maybe there's some others who really need to just say, Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of all my sins and be my Lord and Savior. Save me, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you hear that prayer. You hear the prayer of the lost crying out for salvation. So, Lord, maybe over the internet right now, there's somebody there making that prayer. Lord, make it real in their life, I ask, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me here at the front. We're going to dismiss this service, but not without giving you an opportunity to pray, because prayer is our weapon of warfare. We're in a battle. Some of you have been in the battle this week. You have been in the battle, and you just need some reinforcement. Like I said, sometimes we pray by ourselves, but then there are other times where we're going, no, I need some strength. I need some support. I need two or three people to agree with me for God to work in my life. So I'm going to just pray a prayer of dismissal. And as I do that, if you need prayer, even while I'm talking right now, if you need prayer, just make your way down, and we want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you, God, that you've given us this mighty tool of prayer. Help us to use it. Lord, let it not be like a rusty weapon sitting in a corner never used. Lord, help us to be men and women of prayer. God, I ask that you administer to my brothers and sisters today. You know where we hurt. Lord, you know where we fear. Lord, you know what we're going through. And I just ask, God, that you would meet us at that place of need today and minister to every need in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. See you next week. Invite somebody to come and join you for your story.